Open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 27. Matthew chapter 27. Actually, a couple of weeks ago, the Lord began to deal with me about this particular message, which is unusual. I don't usually get that much notice. But last week, of course, Steve was here, so I didn't get to preach it. But I'm going to preach it this morning, all right? Judas, you know, was one of the original 12 apostles of Jesus Christ. He, of course, is the one who betrayed Jesus. There's been a lot of discussion about Judas down through the years. All I can do is give you my opinion on these things. Some believe that Judas was never really a true believer, a true follower of Jesus Christ, that he was preordained by God to be the betrayer of the Christ, and therefore he had no choice. It seems to me from the scripture that Judas was, at least at some point, was a believer. He was accepted by the other 11 apostles. He was seemed to be respected by them. He was the treasurer of the group. I assume that they chose him as treasurer. Even at the Last Supper, if you'll remember, when Jesus was talking about someone going to betray him, it doesn't seem like they suspected Judas even after he left to go betray Christ. It doesn't seem like that they suspected him of that. And then, of course, I believe that all people have a choice about whether or not to choose Jesus Christ. I also know and believe that God knows the choices that we will make. Now, he doesn't cause us necessarily to make those choices, but he knows. So he knew what Judas would choose, and perhaps that's why he put Judas in that position. And then over the last few years, it seems like, maybe I've just come across it in the last few years, it seems like there are those who sort of want to defend Judas, that they say that he betrayed Christ not out of a lack of love or not out of betrayal as such, but he was just trying to force Jesus' hand, trying to encourage Jesus, I guess, if you will, to overthrow the Roman government, to set up his earthly kingdom, make the Jews as rulers of the world, and so that Judas and the other 11 could have some sort of position in his kingdom, in his cabinet. I guess I don't want to be that nice to Judas. I don't know what to tell you. Seems to me like he betrayed Jesus for money. 30 pieces of silver, to be exact. I don't know why he did that. He walked and talked with Jesus for 3 years. I mean, he was in the physical presence of Jesus Christ for 3 years. He saw every miracle that Jesus performed, with the possible exception, I guess, of the Mount of Transfiguration. He wasn't present there. He heard the public teachings of Jesus. He heard the private teachings of Jesus. All those times, even those things that aren't recorded in the scripture, all of the conversations that Jesus had with his 12. Don't you know there were hundreds of conversations, private moments. Judas was privy to all of that. So why he would betray Jesus, I have no idea. But he did. And it seems like it was the love of money that overcame his love for the Savior that caused him to do that. And then I want you to know that Jesus loved Judas. Again, if you'll read through the gospel accounts, in particular of the Last Supper, you'll find a tenderness in the way that Jesus deals with Judas, even though the others don't know that's who he's dealing with. I'm sure Judas knew, and you'll find a tenderness there, warnings about what would happen, and hopefully trying to encourage him maybe not to do that. But Jesus chose Judas. Listen, he chose the 12, and Judas was one of the 12. He chose him. He invested time and energy in Judas. He taught Judas. He prayed for Judas. He communed with Judas. He walked and talked with Judas. All those things. But he gave Judas a choice. He gave Judas free will. And Judas made a bad choice. Jesus loves all of us. Loves all people. The Bible says he loves everybody who's ever existed or whoever will exist. He loves everybody. He's invested time and energy in all of us. We may not think of it that way, but he has. As a matter of fact, God has invested the Son, the very life of His Son in each of us. His very blood, God has invested that in us. He's communed with us, or at least attempted before we were saved. He's thought about us. He's loved us. He's been concerned for us. But He's given us all free will. He lets us choose. I've had people ask me before, how can there be such terrible wickedness in the world, and how can people do the things that do? Well, the answer is God has given us free will, a choice to make. And the truth is, sometimes we make bad choices. Judas's bad choice did not have to be the end for him, and our bad choices do not have to be the end for us. But we can't make the same mistakes that Judas made, and he made some terrible mistakes. So I want to look at what happened. I want to look at what happened to Judas after he chose to betray Jesus Christ. I'm only going to read 3 or 4 verses, Matthew chapter 27, starting in verse 3. Then Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, I have sinned in that I have betrayed the innocent blood. And they said, what is that to us? See thou to that. And he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went and hanged himself. The first thing I want us to notice about Judas is that after he made this bad choice, he went to the wrong people. I want you to notice again verse 3. Then Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priest and the elders. There's a couple of important things that we need to know. The word repented, the word used for repented in verse 3, is not the normal Greek word that's used for repent throughout the rest of the New Testament. This particular word that's used in verse 3 does, it means he simply felt remorse. He felt guilt for his sin. So he wanted to be relieved of the guilt. He wasn't seeking forgiveness of sin. He wanted relief from the guilt. So he didn't go to Jesus. He went to his co-conspirators. He went to the chief priest and the elders. He wanted to do something. Judas wanted to do something to be relieved of the remorse that he felt. He wanted relief from the grief. And I guess he thought that the chief priests and elders could do that. I'm sure he thought if they'll take the money back, maybe they'll let Jesus go and I won't feel this guilt for what I've done. Because he won't be condemned anymore. He'll be free. He wasn't expressing a desire to change. He just wanted to not feel guilty. Relief from guilt only comes when there's forgiveness of sin. And forgiveness of sin only comes when we repent, and only when we repent to Jesus Christ. Because He's the only one who can save us. He's the only one who can forgive our sins. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5, the Bible says, for there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. One mediator, Jesus. Acts 4:12 says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved, only Jesus. If you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, I want you to know that only Jesus can forgive your sin, and I want you to know that He will forgive your sin if you will come to Him and confess your sin and repent. And to repent is to desire to be forgiven and to desire to change, to turn from sin and to turn to Christ. And if we'll do that, He'll forgive us. And then this morning here, as Christians, you know, sometimes in our lives we commit sin. I know we shouldn't, but we're human. And sometimes we do. And when we commit sin, we need to go to Jesus. You know, we try other things too. we try to work a little harder, or read our Bible a little more, or maybe tell a couple other people about Jesus, or attend a service we wouldn't normally attend, or drop a little extra in the offering plate. But the truth is, none of that's going to make any difference spiritually when we've sinned. We have to confess, repent to Jesus. Sometimes in our lives as Christians, we just have difficulties and struggles. I mean, let's face it. Life's not always easy. And sometimes in those times, we get to thinking maybe that it's the punishment of God, or that, we've done something wrong we don't know about. We've accidentally messed up. I love that. Well, I've accidentally done something that God doesn't like, and He won't tell me what it is, but He's punishing me for it. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7 says, "Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you." Listen, God loves you, Christian. He loves us. And when we sin, and when we have difficulties, and when we have problems and distresses, we need to go to Jesus. Cast our cares on Him. He cares about us. He loves us. He'll take care of us. Next, I want you to notice that because Judas went to the wrong people, he got the wrong response. Verse 5. Judas said, "I have sinned in that I have betrayed the innocent blood." And they, the chief priests and the elders, said to him, "Well, what is that to us? See thou to that." What? That's not our problem. Why'd you come to us? We could care less what you've done. Listen, the world could care less if we sin. The world could care less if anybody sins. As a matter of fact, a lot of the world believes that there's no such thing as sin. So, if you've done it, well, it's up to you to take care of it yourself. Don't bother us. We're not interested. We don't care. To the shame of some churches, they don't care. Oh, we don't want to hear about your sin. We don't want to preach about sin. Just put your money in the offering plate and everything will be all right. Just come to church. We want to be the biggest church in Blackwell, so we're not going to make it too uncomfortable. You just come. The world may reject you. The church may reject you. Your friends may reject you. Your family may reject you. That none of them may care, but Jesus cares. And Jesus won't reject you. In John chapter 6, verse 37, Jesus said, "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out." Romans 10:13 says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Jesus will not reject you. He will forgive you. He will save you. Now listen closely. He will not leave you the way you are if you come to Him in sin. He will change you. But He will not reject you. He will receive you. Sometimes, I mentioned this a while ago, as Christians, we get to thinking that God's mad at us. Maybe we've sinned. Maybe we just haven't done what we should do. Maybe we woke up late on Sunday morning and instead of hurrying and getting around, we just stayed in bed and didn't come to church. And we think, well, God's mad at me. And sometimes there's something in our lives as Christians. Shouldn't be, but sometimes there is, and it's a sort of a continuing thing for a little while, and it sort of builds up, and we begin to think, well, God's not just mad at me, God's really mad at me. I mean, look at what I'm doing, and I'm not changing, I just keep doing it over and over and over. God must be so upset with me. I'm afraid one of these days, God's just going to abandon me. Many, many years ago, I counseled with a lady many years ago. She lives in another town now. I guess if she's even still alive, I don't know. And she lived in fear, honestly. She lived in fear that she was going to wake up one morning and God was going to have abandoned her during the night. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. "For He hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." Now, I know you're wondering, what does all this have to do with Judas? Well, Judas made some poor choices. He betrayed Christ and then he went to the wrong people for relief. And because he went to the wrong people for relief, he got the wrong response. only God loves us enough to give His Son for us, to forgive us, to redeem us, to help us. And because he got the wrong response, he drew the wrong conclusion. Verse 5. And he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went and hanged himself. When Judas came to the chief priests and the elders, he was desperate. I don't know what kind of emotions he experienced right before he betrayed Jesus Christ. At the Last Supper, I believe that Judas knew that Jesus knew that he would betray him. When Jesus was warning the one who would betray him, Judas knew it was him. So I don't know what kind of emotions were going through him. I don't know what he experienced, but he did it anyway. And then after he did it, he saw, the Bible says that he saw that Jesus was condemned. And he felt this terrible weight of guilt. I don't think he immediately went to the chief priests and elders. They weren't immediately available. They were busy condemning Jesus. And so he stewed in his guilt. And the oppression, the weight of remorse and guilt. And so by the time he goes to the chief priests and elders, he's at a moment almost of desperation. I've got to have some relief from this guilt. I've done a terrible thing. Listen, we've all been there, haven't we? Maybe it's guilt, maybe it's pain, maybe it's sorrow, maybe it's mourning, whatever. But we come to this point where we're at this moment of desperation. In the last few weeks, I've visited with several people who are at that moment of desperation. I think that's why God wanted me to preach this message. And Judas went to the wrong people and he got the wrong response and he drew the wrong conclusion. So he threw down that money that was so precious to him, more precious than his relationship with Jesus Christ. He threw it away and he went out and he ended his life because he thought, listen, there's just no hope. Forever, I'll feel this pain. Forever. I'll feel this remorse. Forever I'll feel this grief, and I can't do it. It's more than I can bear. There's no hope for me. And he ended his life. He drew the wrong conclusion. I want you to listen to me this morning. Judas was wrong. Jesus is our hope. Now, it is true. If you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, it is true that without Jesus Christ, there is no hope. But Jesus is real. We read the Bible. We tell the stories. We memorize the stories. We memorize the scriptures. And even as Christians, sometimes we go through our life and we act like we don't really believe it. We worry and we fret and we get to the moment of despair, and yet the Bible says, cast your cares on Him. The Bible says, be careful for nothing. Don't worry, but in everything, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. We read that verse, but we don't believe that verse, do we? So we stew and we fret and we worry and we get agitated and we get depressed and then we get to a place of despair and then we make a wrong decision. We think there's no hope and we do something foolish. When there is hope in Jesus Christ, when the Bible is the truth, whether we believe it or not, and if we'll do what the Bible says, it works. For the unsaved, there's the hope of salvation. Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Not maybe, not hopefully, not if you do this or if you... if you confess, if you believe, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And when Jesus forgives us of our sins, He gives us joy. And we can experience that joy if we'll act like we believe His Word. And Jesus gives us personal peace. In John, I think it's John chapter 16 or maybe 14, He says, peace I leave with you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Peace, personally. And when all the world around us is desperate, when all the world around us is suffering and in despair, when there's wars and explosions and sin and all this stuff, personally, we have peace because Jesus gives it to us. And then He gives us the hope, the promise of eternal life in heaven. That's what He does to us when we're not saved, when we're unsaved, when we're not Christians, and we come to Him and confess and repent, and He forgives us. That's what He does for us. I thought about that, and I thought, well, you know, there'll be more Christians here this morning than there are unsaved. There always are. And so I wanted to say just a word to the Christians. I've tried to include you, us, in all three of these points. But you know, it's easy to get discouraged, isn't it? It's easy sometimes just to want to give up. Sometimes it's easier to quit than it is to keep on keeping on. That's just the truth, isn't it? Even for Christians. I looked up the word hope in my Bible concordance. There must be hundreds of verses in the Bible about hope. I just picked out a few. Psalm chapter 42, verse 5. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God. For I shall yet praise Him for the help of His countenance. Psalm 130, verse 7. Let Israel, that's Christian people, that's the people of God, that's us. Let Israel hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy, and with the Lord there is plenteous redemption. Psalm 146, verse 5, happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God. Joel 3:16 says, but the Lord will be the hope of his people and the strength of the children of Israel. You know why sometimes it's easier to quit than it is to keep going? Because we're weak. But the Bible says that God is our strength. Romans 15:4 says, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we might through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Lamentations 3:22-26. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in Him. Christian, I want you to know something. I understand discouragement. I may not have the pain that you have. I may not have the problems that you have. And I love my job and I'm not complaining, but I'm telling you, I have problems that you don't have. A good pastor feels the pain of his people. All of his people. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Do not despair and do not quit. Jesus is alive and well, living in the throne of glory. He is making intercession for each and every one of us. He knows our pain today, He knows our pain tomorrow, and every day henceforward, and He has made provision for it. He is King of all kings and Lord of all lords. He is our hope. Believe His word and trust Him. And cast your cares upon Him because He cares for you. Would you stand with me this morning? Sherry, would you come to the piano? I'm going to ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes. Be quiet and prayerful for just one moment. First, I want you to know that from this moment, the altars are open. The altars are always open. You can come. I hope you know that anytime during any service you can come. But if you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, I want you to know there's hope in Jesus, and He loves you, and He'll forgive you, but you've got to come to the right place, and He's the right place. He's the right person. He'll forgive you. And if you want to do that this morning, you come right on, and I'll make sure that somebody comes to pray with you. But for the Christians here this morning, we're going to go to just a very brief time of prayer. I feel like I should do this. So I'm asking you to be in a prayerful mind, eyes closed. Father, You walk this earth. You lived among us. You were rejected. You experienced fatigue and loneliness and betrayal. And I know, You know, what it means to be desperate. And You did everything right. You were faithful and You were obedient. And You are victorious. Now here we are, Lord, today in this building, in this service, in Your presence. And Lord, I think there's some people here who are discouraged. And I think there are some people here, Lord, who may be at the moment of desperation. So I ask You, Father, this morning to reach out and reach down to each of us today, Lord, to me today, Lord. Wrap us in Your love and remind us of Your hope. Remind us that You're our strength. Remind us that You're faithful, that You love us, and that if we'll truly believe Your word and live Your word and be faithful, we will be victorious.